It's wonderful to work with you.
Well, now, we were going to be talking this afternoon about the subject of the avian flu epidemic, and we're reading almost on a daily basis about the danger of avian flu. It's almost as if it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to have this jump from birds to human beings, even though there's some, certainly birds that actually are infected with this, and it doesn't seem to bother them, but others certainly don't have any resistance. And anyway, you wrote a very interesting article on newsofthews.com. Why don't you pick the story up and give us your view of what's taking place and what the future does hold?
There are several very interesting aspects of this potential bird flu, and the first is that we, of course, have had bird flu or avian flu epidemics here in America in the past. We had one horrible public health disaster in 1918 when 500,000 Americans died, and it was a worldwide pandemic, and another 50 million died throughout the world. In 1957, we had Asian flu, and that caused 70,000 deaths, and then in 1968, we had the so-called Hong Kong flu, and that killed 34,000 Americans. Now, will we have a pandemic with this new H5N1 flu that is killing millions of birds in Southeast Asia? That's a question. We know that up till now, only 67 people have died, but that's about 50% of those who had contracted the disease from the birds. What generally happens in this type of pandemic is that the disease, the virus, goes from the birds to a mammal, such as a horse or a pig, and then generally in that pig or horse blood, it gets intensified and then is transmitted to a person, and then the virus mutates from person to person. And that's when the real trouble comes. That's when we will have a pandemic. And you, of course, know, and many of our listeners know, that the best way to prevent certain types of contagious diseases is with vaccines. The best way to treat certain contagious diseases is with medication. And the best way to contain them, if they're already raging, is to create quarantines. Much to my astonishment, Dr. Stone, when President Bush gave his interviews in the Rose Garden when he was discussing the replacement for Justice O'Connor, was his emphasis upon quarantine and using the military to enforce it.
But of course the thing is, Madeline, certainly the most powerful man in any county is the public health officer, and he has the ability to quarantine. Where in the world, in our Constitution, or in any basic precept of our nation, is there any concept for the federal government to begin quarantining people? And that's really what I share your concern. When the president starts talking about a federal quarantine, he doesn't have the authority, he doesn't have the intelligence, and he certainly doesn't have the power to do it. But of course, when you're the president of the United States, I guess you can do just about anything you want to, irrespective of whether it's constitutional or whether or not it's good for the nation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Madeline Cosman, and of course she is a doctor of law, not a doctor of medicine, but she does a lot of work with doctors and in the medical field, and so she speaks with a certain amount of authority. We were talking about the avian flu epidemic, and Dr. Cosman was saying basically there are three ways to treat a pandemic. One, of course, would be to prevent it with vaccines. The second would be to treat it with medication. And the third would be to prevent its spread with quarantine. And, of course, quarantine has been used for a long period of time. You quarantine tuberculosis patients. I can remember when there was a polio epidemic, and patients with polio were quarantined. And certainly when we had a lot of communicable diseases, quarantine was used. But it was always used with local authority. And Dr. Cosman was expressing some concern when the President of the United States, who really doesn't understand our Constitution at all and really doesn't seem to really care much about that at all, he seems to have his own agenda. started talking about, well, if there was a bird flu epidemic, why we were going to have the military take control of the country and quarantine those areas that needed to be quarantined. So you pick up your thoughts there, Dr. Cosman, because I share your concern about the use of the military here in America, which is a violation of the posse comitatus law. In fact, the use of the military is a tool of tyrants. It always has been. And the one reason we've been free is because there are laws that restrict the ability of the commander-in-chief to use the American military against the American people.
We had an opportunity to see how the use of the military could be detrimental to individual rights during the Hurricane Katrina disaster, and we saw that the moment the government decided that the local New Orleans and Louisiana people were incompetent, it came in. It was not that much more competent, but at least it did achieve a type of order. But the moment it achieved order, it did so by, for example, restricting the rights of people to maintain and bear arms, even though they had in Louisiana a legal right to do so. Now, this was the first of several intrusions upon individual rights.
And you know, I never understood why disarming law-abiding citizens would bring about law and order. I would think you'd want to disarm the terrorists, the gangs, the other people committing crimes, not the law-abiding citizen who needs weapons to protect themselves.
Precisely. But that has been, in fact, the method of government for many years.
Hold that thought. We bring our stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Madeline Cosman, and simply pointing out the concerns she has that when we saw how the federal troops moved into New Orleans, and one of the basic things they wanted to do was disarm the people. Now, why would you want to disarm law-abiding citizens? Why would you want to take away weapons from, you know, from law-abiding citizens where there's a sense of lawlessness out there? There were gangs there that had come in from other areas to participate in the looting, and people were able to defend themselves because they had weapons. Take their weapons away, and you don't have a soldier stationed in every home. How do people defend themselves against the ruthless element? And unfortunately, there is a small but very ruthless and vicious element within our society. So pick up the story there, Dr. Cosman.
What was quite astonishing in New Orleans was that the good, law-abiding people who had every right, sometimes already possessing a CCW, a concealed carry of weapons permit, were completely disarmed, and in essence, martial law had been declared, even though I don't think officially it had been, but to all intents and purposes, the military was behaving as if martial law had been declared. Now, under the Patriot Act, Stan, we've got the problem that the governor of a state can impose a military, can declare a military, that actually was a very funny slip. The governor of a state can impose a medical disaster and therefore impose military might upon the people. And the governor of a state under the Patriot Act can have forced inoculation, forced treatment, and forced quarantines. What the president was suggesting in the Rose Garden speech was that he would preempt the state military, that is the state National Guard, and actually use our national military to enforce quarantines. And what I think our listeners have got to understand is that a quarantine is a legal restraint upon going into or coming out of a particular area. And it can be a house, or it can be a town, or a city, or even a section of the United States that can be completely cordoned off, and this is enforced by brute force by the federal troops. Well, this is an absolute violation of the Constitution and an absolute violation of the laws of the land.
But, of course, the thing is that people will say it's an expedient thing to do. We've got to do something about the problem. But, of course, what did the federal government really do about But Katrina, in fact, the FEMA was a total, you know, a collapse of authority, and they did everything wrong. And then you bring in the military, and of course the military is trained to kill people. That's the purpose of military. They're trained for combat. In fact, the people in the Pentagon have said, we don't want this authority. We'd have to retrain all of our troops for this, because they're not trained for that. The purpose of the military is to kill people and destroy things. Why would the president want to turn them loose in America? We have a National Guard, except he sent them all over there overseas. He doesn't want to use the regular army troops there. He wants to use the National Guard and reserves. In fact, 50% of the casualties recently are in the National Guard. They're not using the regular troops. They're using the patriotic troops, or the most patriotic troops, the people who are not professional soldiers, the people who maybe are weekend soldiers, and suddenly they're being sent over to be slaughtered. 50% of the casualties recently have been in the reserve and National Guard units, and I think that's frightening. Why are they doing that? Why don't we keep our National Guard at home and use our professional military over there, you know, in the military situations?
Well, that, of course, is an excellent question. My own impression has been that we have inadequate professional soldiers to do the jobs, because we are stationing them at various other places in the world, such as in South Korea and in Germany.
And don't forget Japan. We've got 40,000 troops in Japan for 60 years. Why do we have 40,000 troops in Japan for 60 years?
It's total nonsense, and these troops should be brought back. They should be fighting where we are actually at war, such as in Iran and Afghanistan. And my own impression is that everyone else should be brought back to police our borders against the influx of illegal aliens. That's another question.
I certainly agree. I hope that was a slip of the tongue when you said Iran and Afghanistan. You meant I do that all the time myself. But that should shutter down everybody's back, because I really fear, from everything I've heard, and I have contacts with people who know what's really going to happen, it would sound as if we do have a plan to attack Iran and Syria. And ladies and gentlemen, will God protect this nation if we keep expanding this battle over there and killing people? Because there's no way you can have a war where a lot of innocent people don't get killed.
Well, I am perfectly in favor of peace, prosperity, tranquility, but I am not in favor, Stan, of appeasement. And I believe that when we must wage war, we must wage war. But once we decide to wage it, we must wage it with all due power in order to win it, and to win it quickly, and to win it quickly in order to prevent unnecessary deaths of both our soldiers and our civilians. My belief, and this is not the subject we intended to discuss today, but my belief is that we are waging war poorly in Iraq. Thank you for catching my Freudian slip.
I do the same thing all the time. Don't feel bad.
and in Afghanistan, because we are using a perverse just war theory, and just war theory is ultimately a form of appeasement of evil as opposed to a triumph and absolute win over evil.
Amen to that. Well, let's not get off, because we could spend 2 hours on that discussion. Let's get back to what's happening here in the United States, but I agree with everything you say from that point of view. But I am concerned. I share your concern with the thought that they are thinking, and the president has after said this publicly, that, you know, we should use the military, and the military says we're not equipped for this, but that doesn't matter whether they're equipped for it. The president has determined that if there is a major, you know, epidemic in the United States, the military will come in and begin occupying our states and our towns and forcing military rule. But what frightens me most is not the president would say that, but where is the outcry from the state governors? Where is the outcry from the people, the mayors, the people of this country saying, you're violating the Constitution, Mr. President. You may be the president, but you have to follow the same laws everybody else does.
There are two problems. One is that very few people truly know what is in the Constitution, and they simply do not recognize that when our forefathers created this magnificent America, They created a government of the people, by the people, for the people, in order to protect the people's rights that they had inalienably, that we have rights to begin with, and we create government to serve us merely as protection of those rights, and therefore government is limited. Most people do not understand the Constitution, in great part because our educational system has excluded it from the curriculums for the past perhaps 60 years. But the second point is somewhat more distressing. We tend to believe that war and illness or great epidemics are excuses for giving over some of our rights in exchange for security. We do not, however, get security from the government because it appears that the government has decided it is not going to invest in vaccines to prevent. It's not going to invest in treatments of medication to treat an epidemic, but it prefers what is in essence a political and legal attack against disease. Well, no policy is going to make people well. It certainly will incarcerate them and may kill them, but it will never make them well.
Well, of course, my very grave concern is that, you know, we do not have an effective vaccine at the present time. And really, of course, we have no documentation that even if they made a vaccine, that would work. And do we want to give it to the entire population of the United States unless it's had a trial someplace? And then, of course, more recently, at least there's been one case over in Vietnam, where you had a woman who was Tamiflu, had H5N1 virus infection, avian flu, and then she was resistant to the Tamiflu. Will the Tamiflu give adequate protection in case of this? And then would it be used prophylactically? Would it be used therapeutically? We're told, you know, the flu starts, why everybody takes a pill for 10 days, and then what happens when you run out of pills and the flu is still there? And there's so many unanswered questions. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let's start with, for example, the vaccines. We know that the vaccine has got to be absolutely strain specific. That is, it's got to be associated with a specific strain of flu, and it can't be for one that has been effective before. It's got to be the H5N1 and whatever is its current manifestation. Further, we know that there are techniques of giving this vaccine, presupposing it will be created, with an adjuvant, a type of, in a sense, stretcher of the vaccine so it can be used for more people. Well, people are going to have drug interreactions or negative side effects from this, and we don't know what they are. But at least there's the possibility of our creating a vaccine, and we're not devoting our efforts and our money to doing it. Why are we not?
That's a very, very good question, and why, of course, at least so far, have we not, if we really believe there's going to be an epidemic, begin to stockpile the Tamiflu in the hope that it would be effective. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Madeline Cosman talking about some imponderable questions that we all ought to ask. Perhaps nothing's as it appears to be. Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you will understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Madeline Cosman, and we're talking about what really you'd want to think about doing if you really considered there was a possibility of a major worldwide pandemic that is as lethal as we're told that this avian flu is. And as Dr. Cosman is pointing out, we don't really seem to be working very hard to get a vaccine. We don't seem to be working very hard to come up with perhaps even a more effective flu drug than we already have. And we hope that Tamiflu would be effective. But a really serious question is whether you take it prophylactically or hold off until you are actually infected with the organism. But certainly one of the most effective things you do when you have a major epidemic is quarantine. But do we really want the federal government to do it? The most powerful person in any community is the public health officer. He has the ability to take away people's freedom. He has the ability to put them in quarantine and keep them there, even under guarded quarantine, even to arrest them if necessary. Why do we need the federal government, Dr. Cosman?
Is that we do not need the federal government to do this at all. And that is what makes President Bush's statement particularly appalling. We already have the public health officers. We already have the restrictions of the Patriot Act. Therefore, there seems to me to be absolutely no reason to have the federal government intervening, except because there was the inefficiency and inefficacy of the people in New Orleans and Louisiana. The federal government appeared at that time during the Katrina crisis to be more effective than the ineffectual first responders. My own impression is that FEMA was in various ways a disaster, and therefore the federal groups did not do any better than the locals, but at least they got some appropriate food and equipment to those who needed them, and were able to get the people out of the various sports stadiums. In any event, I think that there is a reason, although I would hate to contemplate what that reason is, that the president is using the excuse of the Katrina debacle in Louisiana to grant to himself an extra set of powers. And I think that the reason people are not agitated and up in arms is, once again, they don't truly know the Constitution and the very limits of our limited government. And second, they are frightened. Just as they are frightened by war, so they are frightened by the idea of contagion, and therefore they're willing to make an exchange of their rights for what they think may be their security.
And, of course, as Benjamin Franklin had said so wisely, any person willing to give up any bit of their individual liberty for security will certainly end up losing both. So, yeah, I think it's so important people to understand we've never lived without freedom. But down through the ages, there have always been those who lusted for power. And I'm not saying that this is the case with George Bush, but can we trust him? Could we trust Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton with this sort of power? Can we trust anyone with power for as long as Lord Acton had said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely? And the men who created our country feared the centralization of power in government. And that's why they created the Bill of Rights, which is basically a series of limitations on the power of the federal government. Now, they never teach that anymore, but read it through and see what it's saying. It is limiting the power of the federal government. And now we're to have a president who doesn't understand the Constitution, has involved us in a senseless war over in Iraq. We could have been out of there, you know, right after the fall of Baghdad if we'd simply left the Iraqi army and the Iraqi police force and the Iraqi civil service in place and simply let the allowed them to divide it up into three separate countries. Why would you want to have three countries that hate one another put together under one central authority? It's almost madness. In fact, this whole thing was created by Winston Churchill back in 1918 and 19, specifically to create an unstable country so that you could justify the British staying there. Why would we want to maintain that? Why not give each section their own autonomy and let them determine their own future? But it seems like we're intent upon not doing that, and now the president, who's created this debacle, wants to bring military forces into America. We're going to be gone for a moment or two. When we get back, we hope that you'll call us here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Dr. Cosman, you agree, you disagree, maybe you think we need the courage to give the power to the federal government to protect us from the avian flu. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, we'll want you to know how to get hold of Dr. Cosman's done some fascinating work, written some fascinating things, and fascinating individual. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Madeline Cosman. Madeline, do you have a website or any place people could go to get information from you? Or certainly, should they go to newswithviews.com and read your articles?
Well, I think the best thing is, in fact, to go to newswithviews.com and therefore see what I've written on bird flu, on sustainable medicine, on EMTALA, and illegal aliens, and all the other various things on medical law that I write on. And if anyone wants to contact me directly, my email is available through newswithviews.com, and it is madelinecosman@yahoo.com.
Madeline Cosman at yahoo.com. Our telephone number here, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, and let's go to Dave, who's calling us from Illinois. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, good evening. My question for your guest is this. I've heard discussions about this whole pandemic thing in various talk shows, and one comment that's been put forth time and time again by some people, and you yourself have said this, Dr. Stan, that some people think it's just fear-mongering by the powers that be. Well, you know, I hope that's all it is, 'cause we don't want people dying, but what are the chances of this actually hitting this country? What do you think the odds are that we're actually hit by this thing?
All right, that's a fair question. Dr. Cosman, what would your thoughts be about what are the chances of it actually hitting America?
Well, Dave and Dr. Stan, I'm not a gambler. Therefore, I'm not very good at dealing with odds. I actually don't think that the major problem is whether or not it will hit us. We know that there have been pandemics before. There has been a pandemic in 1918 and 57 and 68, and these have been deadly. So given what we all know about virology and epidemiology, it's highly likely that if the flu does not hit us this year, it may next year. And if not this year or next year, it'll be the year after. But as like as not, at some point, if we do not create the appropriate vaccines, and if we do not have the appropriate medications to treat, we will have a pandemic of some form of bird flu, and we will have quarantines. Therefore, my concern is not so much that this is being hyped, and it may be, we don't know. But let me say, I, as a leader of, in fact, run a university section, I've run a national corporation, I know that it's always been my responsibility to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. and that means taking all the necessary precautions and recognizing that if things go beautifully, we say, hallelujah, everything is fine, there was no disaster. But if, God forbid, there really is a disaster, we're prepared, we know what to do. What I find appalling now is that we're doing a huge amount of talking, but we're not preparing. We are not taking the necessary actions. So if you think that there is a great deal of hype, maybe, Dave, it is hype, but I don't know that. So I would prefer, as a responsible leader, and here is what I would hope the president would do, but he's not doing, I would prepare vaccines. I would prepare medications. I would stockpile vaccines and medications. I would make sure we have the best of the best of the high-tech, most scientifically savvy production of both vaccines and treatments. Only as a last resort would I consider going back to the old, in fact, medieval concept of quarantine.
All right.
I have one more comment here.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree with it totally, and I really boils my blood is that this what I call knuckleheaded administration we've got in Washington now. When you talk about, whether you talk about these pandemics or chemical or biological warfare or atomic attack, all these things, it's my understanding that as an individual family, you can go a long way to protect yourself no matter what happens. And I don't hear our leaders talk about this at all, not one rotten word.
Well, I will tell you, Dave, you know I'm not a great fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I will tell you that Maria Shriver has been on television a number of times, and the only person I've ever seen, but at least here in California, saying, prepare, and you know, go to the governor's website, make preparations. We could have a major disaster, and I'm amazed. We never saw this, you know, before, but recently, about once a week, I see Maria there on the screen making a very nice plea with the people to prepare, and I applaud her, and I applaud the governor for that. I just wonder what they know that we don't.
Well, I agree. I also applaud that, but I mean the president
and so forth,
they should, and our own various state representatives should be talking about this stuff, but they're just not doing it.
You're absolutely right.
They're just not doing it.
And the thing is that I think that we really should be prepared. We don't know whether something is going to happen, either accidentally or intentionally. And one of these days I'll tell you what Zygmunt Brzezinski wrote back in 1972 in his book, Between Two Ages, America, the Tectonic Age, about how they would be able to actually create storms and hurricanes, and how then they would be able to use biological weapons upon people, upon whole populations. He's writing in 1972. Anybody would like to see the page there, we'll be glad to send it to you. He's talking about in the future, of course, use the figure, the date 2018, but the fact he would even be talking about creating storms and hurricanes, men creating them, and using biological weapons on the enemy. Who's the enemy? And why is the president talking about bringing in military troops into the local communities to control them in case there's a hurricane? I mean, that is what is really frightening to me.
Well, to me, President Bush is just a puppet of the New World Order.
Well, I think that he is certainly controlled by other much brighter people, but why are they having him say that? Anyway, thanks very much, Dave. I share your concern, and I hope you'll get everybody there in Illinois listening to our programs on a regular basis.
I'm trying.
I know you are. God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Dave calling from Illinois. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 831-464-8295, and I certainly think that, and we keep stressing here in our programs, make preparations. We don't know what's going to happen. Could be an earthquake in California. Could be certainly another tidal wave hitting the Gulf. Now we've got another Category 5 hurricane moving up along the coast of Florida. Will be very soon. It certainly could be a some sort of a nuclear weapon that we have. You know, we have absolutely no defense against a nuclear attack. You could even get some rogue country, you know, that would have a tanker going along or a freighter going along our shore and lob in a missile into our cities. We have absolutely no defense, which doesn't make sense unless there is another agenda. And those are things that we always have to ask. There's always a logical explanation for everything going on. Sometimes we just don't know what it is. Have you thought about that, Dr. Cosman?
I certainly have, Dr. Stan. I must tell you that again and again, I look for the logical explanation, and I don't find it. But I believe that nothing happens by accident, and nothing happens without some intention by some force. And therefore, it's absolutely necessary that, as you are always fond of saying, that we look at what the reality is, and that illusion may often masquerade as reality, but we must look for the truth. And I believe here that indeed we must look for the truth. Now, if I want to be a wretched cynic, I can say that there might be an advantage to those who want a one-world order and those who want a socialist uni-nation of every otherwise independent nation of the world, there will be a great advantage in eliminating unnecessary people and getting rid of them by a biological devastation is certainly better. It preserves the architecture, it preserves the good buildings that otherwise might be destroyed in terms of a bomb. So there might be some who would like to see a pandemic eliminate a lot of wealthy, useless burdens upon the environment, namely Americans. I truly do not believe that that is so, but I can certainly understand those who look at the current circumstance and wonder what might be behind this strange unwillingness to protect ourselves. My own belief is not that people truly want to kill Americans. Obviously, the Islamo-fascists do, but I don't believe that Americans necessarily want to kill Americans, but I do believe that there are many Americans who believe in the one world order, who also believe in a perverse form of altruism, namely that other people are more valuable than we are, and therefore we must self-sacrifice for the others as opposed to protecting ourselves. And therefore they tend to a virulent appeasement of evil, whether it's the appeasement of Islamo-fascists, whether it's the appeasement of border crossers from Mexico and other nations in our open borders and our welcome of illegal aliens, or whether it is a virus. They are willing to bring in whatever will ultimately take down the individualism and the integrity of America.
Well, you know, America really is a rather unique country, having lived in other countries throughout the world. I've always been so pleased and happy to be back here, because there's a sort of a spirit, and as you say, this spirit of individualism, but there are those, of course, who have a different world vision. They want everybody to be subservient. They basically believe in the Platonic concept that was written about 2400 years ago in Plato's Republic and his dialogues, that we really need a ruling oligarchy and that everybody else would be subservient to that. And there have been people who have been working to bring that about for about 2350 years. And you could actually go back and read Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, and he talks about Plato and Plato's ideas and how important they were, and certainly the man who inspired Cecil Rhodes to work towards world government was John Ruskin, who read Plato every day. And I think that everybody out there in the listening audience needs to read Plato and needs to see what his dream was. Now, I don't agree with it, but there are people who just have a different world view out there. Haven't you encountered that? Madeline, we look at them, we say, these people have got to be crazy, but they're not crazy. They just do not hold the same values that we do.
Well, I agree with you entirely. In fact, Plato's ruling oligarchy was actually ruling what we would probably call today a compliant, dependent socialism, in which the intelligent ones, the ruler philosophers, were deciding everything for the poor, stupid fools who were part of the group in which everyone was equal, everyone had equal access to everything, and therefore everyone owned everything, and therefore no one owned anything. No one owned property, and no one owned even his own ideas, or, for that matter, his own body. Mm-hmm. If we're going back to the classics, and Ruskin and Rhodes were praising Plato, I would say, let's get everyone to start reading Aristotle and get Aristotle's individualism, which ultimately was the origin of our founding fathers having the concept that we came into existence with inalienable rights, that there was a creator, and that the creator created us, in a sense, in his own image, with these rights, and that we then created government after we were created in order to protect those precious, invincible, inalienable rights. And that's what we've got to protect now. And that's what is, in fact, being put at risk with all of this concern over how to treat avian flu.
And, of course, what you're doing is quoting almost word for word from the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Too bad that maybe we ought to send a copy of that to the president so he could understand the purpose of government is to protect our inalienable rights that came from the Creator. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, sir. Ma'am, are you the lady that was on talking about the chaos in the hospitals in Los Angeles a few weeks ago?
I don't know which particular radio show you're talking about, but to be exact, today I have been on different talk shows. This is my third of the day, so I am so frequently on radio and television that, forgive me, I can't identify the particular one you're referring to. But
go ahead.
If you are going to say, am I the one who talked about 86 hospitals closing in California because
Bingo.
Of the influx of illegal aliens, then yes, I am that person.
So what in the world is going to happen down there should something like this take hold?
You're talking about in California here?
Yes, sir.
Well, what are your thoughts? What's going to happen is we've lost so many of our hospitals, and really our whole hospital system, at least in the southern part of our state, is beginning to crumble simply from the weight of unfunded illegal aliens.
You're asking a terribly important question, and I don't know the answer. What I do know is that we who are independent in thought must start taking personal preparations. And we simply cannot depend on our local medical circumstances to help us, and we certainly cannot depend on national. For example, here in Southern California, or for that matter in the whole state of California, we have multiple drug-resistant tuberculosis existing in 38 out of 61 health jurisdictions. That's an astonishing statistic. It's
That'll
in
be very
local.
Helpful also when the bird flu comes through, won't it?
Well, oh, it sure would, wouldn't it, with all these debilitated people. Now, the question is, who gets the medication, if there is medication, or who gets the vaccines, if there are vaccines to get? But what is it going to be the illegal aliens? Is it going to be the citizens? Is it going to be the physicians? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be me? Who knows? We don't
It won't be me, I can tell you that.
Okay, thanks much, Jim.
Thank you so much. But,
okay, fine. Bye-bye. Well, I think we have a real problem, and I certainly agree with you, Madeline. I think that people need to begin thinking about the unthinkable. I do think there's a great deal that can be done to build up our own immune systems, but that's a completely different subject for today, although if you would like to get more information on that, you can call us, and we'll be glad to give you the reference to the places you can get it. Madeline, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Recognize that if we're asked, who owns your body, we've got to say, I own my body. I am responsible for what happens to it. Therefore, if there's a way of getting Tamiflu or Relenza, the other form of medication that can treat the H5N1 flu, get it. Prepare. Stock up on water. Stock up on basic medications. Be prepared. Be an individual and be responsible for your own body.
And I hate to say it, but listen to Maria Scrivers. What she's saying is absolutely right. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us, Madeline. Always a pleasure.
A delight to work with you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and you know, there's always a logical explanation for everything. People ask, well, why aren't we trying to seal the borders? And the answer is very simple. We do not intend to seal the borders. The invisible government, the established, the occult hierarchy, call it what you will, really wants, of course, to have a one-world government. They want a multicultural society here in America. They want conflicts where they can play the Anglo against the Mexican against the black. And out of the conflict will come, of course, the police state, and with their power, they're actively encouraging people to come across the border and offering them all sorts of rewards. And if they catch them, why, then they just let them go right away. You know, we're not going to try to stop this. We don't have any place to put them. No, you have to understand there's a logical explanation for violating the laws of this country, but they can't tell the American people that. Why don't we have an adequate missile defense? We do have one. It's a space-based laser program, but they don't want the American people to know that. If we should have a nuclear attack, a missile attack, you can be sure that they are prepared to protect themselves. Are there really people who would like to kill off a large part of the world's population? Yes, there are. Now, you can go to Elberton, Georgia, see the Georgia Guidestones, see them up on our webpage at www.radioliberty.com, where they actually talk about maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. And what they're really talking about is eliminating over 90% of the world population, because there really are the people who have a different world agenda. We have public policies here in America that has led to a massive epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases. We have 65 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease, the end of a public health policy aimed at producing that through sex education and encouraging sexual promiscuity. That's what's the purpose of our sex education in our schools, but we can't tell the American people that. They wouldn't understand. There are people who are so much smarter than we are who would destroy the health of so many of our young people. We have a great new video and DVD. It's called Planned Population Reduction. Planned Population Reduction, we did it back at the Prophecy Club, and I would say it's very well done. We hope that you want to get it, the video or DVD. Call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Planned population reduction. Is there going to be an avian flu epidemic? Quite frankly, I don't know. If it comes about, it'll be because it was genetically engineered to do that. They have the ability to create new diseases. And, of course, if you have not yet seen Dr. MacArthur's testimony, we have the entire testimony back in 69. We talked about, representing the Army, creating a new disease for mass killing. And we'll send you one page if you want it. We'll send that to you free of charge. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927, you need to get the four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, where Dr. Dennegan tells how he was briefed by the head of Planned Parenthood on the master plan to suppress treatments for cancer to create new diseases for mass killing. You need to get our four-tape set on genocide, our four-tape set on population control, and of course we have a video on population control as well. You need to get our talk on the history of water fluoridation, and of course the syllabus goes with that, the hidden agenda. You'll actually see the pages from Bertrand Russell's book and so much other information about how they were going to encourage homosexuality. Why? Well, because that was up for population control purposes. This is back in 1970. And, of course, how they really wanted to have mass plague sweep the earth once in every generation. So, of course, we could limit the population. Then we could have all much procreation as we wanted to, and there wouldn't be enough people left to do any harm. There really are people who feel this way. They have a different dream. They worship a different God. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will want to come to our special conference on the 19th of November. If you're going to come, you're going to have to make reservations because we're serving lunch. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.